Siren Radio.
Fantastic. That's what we like to hear. And as it's the third Wednesday of the month, we can also quite happily press the button, which effectively leads to all manner of marvellous, wondrous things. Specifically,
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world is needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. Okay, we're moving on to a whole range of different aspects, including welcoming to the programme representing Wole's Words Festival extraordinaire, the writer and general all-round wonderful person, Stephen Wade. How are you, Stephen?
I'm very well, thanks, Alex. Good to be saying good afternoon to everybody, and it's a bit of a summer's day, actually, here.
It is. Now, whereabouts do we find you in this fine county of Lincolnshire?
You find me not far from Scunthorpe.
Oh, blessed Scunthorpe, a whole new world on that side of things. I'm looking at a wonderful website, which is the World's Festival website throughout October, so we're midway through there. Alford, Horncastle, Louth, Spilsby and surrounding areas. Share with us, what exciting things have you been getting up to in this area so far?
Well, basically I've been busy on the circuit promoting new books. It just so happens that the book I've done with Stuart Gibbon, the ex-detective, crime writer's case book, that's featuring next Sunday at the Stanhope Hall, Horncastle. And then I have a couple of new books out myself, both crime-related. So I've been both Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire really doing talks and promoting.
I cannot believe, just looking at the thing, Stephen, it's a mere £6, including refreshments, for Fatal Attraction, Sunday the 21st of October, 2 p.m. through to 4 p.m, The Crime Writer's Casebook, not just what, two, as you said, two leading experts in the field of crime discussing why the genre is so popular with both readers and writers.
Yes, a talk we've done several times now. In fact, we're working on a follow-up, so that's how much we're keen on this project. We met in Lincoln, actually, a few years ago, and decided to do a book together. And Stuart does the professional stuff, you know. He's been the detective in London and in Lincolnshire. And I do the enthusiastic historian's approach, because I'm so interested in the history of crime and law, you know. It's a big part of my life, and I enjoy the research. So I'll be talking about a number of case studies for the historical side, and Stuart will be telling you what it's like to be a detective, and he's also going to talk about some fairly famous cases, actually, I think, if I'm right. I think he's touching on some well-known ones, some more recent ones, obviously, than mine.
Well, all being well, we'll be speaking to Stuart later on in the programme, but we also need to welcome two fine newbies to the Inspired On Air team. Julie Ellaby's on holiday, Sarah Bullimore's working so hard, it's understandable, and, of course, Amelia Chambers with the Royal Radio. They have their own show, which we'll be producing, etc. But we welcome his first ever Inspired On Air. That's Ben Lewis. How are you, Ben?
I'm very well, thank you.
Marvellous. And we also have, making her debut from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, keeping that in full force, Sia Maturi. How are you, Sia?
I'm really good, thank you.
Originally from Leicester?
Originally from Leicester, yeah.
Ben's originally from Brighton. And I suspect that we weren't aware of the joy of the Lincolnshire Worlds Festival, and in particular, Fatal Attraction on Sunday, 21st of October, were we?
No.
So, Ben, would you like to quiz Stephen a wee bit more about this and other things with respect to the Crime Writer's Casebook?
Yeah, certainly. So, crime writing in general, what's your kind of inspiration around crime writing? What first got you into crime writing?
Oh, good Lord, what a question. Well, actually, it was working as a writer in Lincoln Prison. That's what really kindled my interest. But I worked there 3 years as a writer, you know, doing virtually anything that people wanted to do, from drama to poetry, storytelling. And I think at that point I'd just written maybe my first one or two regional crime stories. And the thing that triggered it all, and then the prison work intensified it, was researching, because I'm from Leeds, a lot of my writing was initially about Yorkshire, and it was researching a local crime, a famous local crime, and I got so deeply into it, I thought, this is terrific, it's like being a detective. And I always say to people when they ask about crime fiction and crime fact, I say, yeah, it's great stuff writing a novel and creating a detective, but the wonderful thing about true crime that attracts me is that you, the writer, become the detective, if that makes sense. Hmm. You know, you when you research your story, it's all on you, and you step into the role of detective rather than having to create, you know, Inspector Morse or whatever. They're both fun, you know, don't get me wrong. I write crime fiction as well. But the true crime, you're thinking, gosh, this is a real case from the past and it's a mystery. You know, did so-and-so actually do this crime? So it was a local crime, local to Leeds initially, my first real interest. And then the Lincoln prison work deepened it all, because obviously it's a Victorian prison, you know, 1870s. Looks like a red brick castle, doesn't it?
And, it's the sort of place Geoffrey Archer would have found entertaining,
yeah, I
really.
Think he had,
and I think he did, actually, yeah. As far as I can call it. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a holiday destination, but there we have it.
No.
That's the crime side of things. But the other exciting thing, Stuart, is what you're going to be doing on Wednesday, the 31st of October.
This has become my paranormal tale.
Just hold it there, please, because there's only so much excitement the listener can actually take. Stuart, are you happy to stay with us online? Sorry, Stephen, are you happy to stay with us online? Let's get it sorted out here.
I will
Stephen,
stay with you. I'll
stay
hold
with
the
us.
Ghost story.
Exactly. Hold that ghost story for a few seconds before we find out about my paranormal tales, unexplained and unexpected stories of ghosts, poltergeists, and other mysterious phenomena from your Lincolnshire and Yorkshire casebooks.
Yep.
Are you frightened? Well, maybe you should be, just a wee bit.
Always somebody
I don't think I have to spell out the reason for playing Eurythmics and Annie Lennox and Sex Crime when, of course, ties in with the whole notion of the Crime Writers Handbook. Oh, maybe I just have. Oh, well, what they. We're speaking to the awesomely talented Stephen Wade from Leeds, originally Yorkshire. Leeds United fan, Stephen, or is it a case of I put all that association football?
Oh, I was Leeds United fan before the Revy years.
Before,
that's how far I can go
before
back.
Don Revy. Unbelievable. Don Revy.
I saw John Charles play.
Whoa, that Welsh wizard.
He had to bounce off him.
He did. Yeah, it would have been illegal these days, but still, never mind. Best not go there. Yeah, Don Revy, of course, much known for the Revy plan, which he instituted at Main Road Man City, of course, which was where he sort of started off his whole thing. But yeah, so presumably Billy Bremner and Norman Hunter and... Well, they were certainly guilty against, of crimes against all sorts of things, particularly Norman Hunter against Francis Lee. But let's not go there.
Yeah, the
chopper. Exactly. Let's do something completely different and let's move into the world of ghosts, paranormal... and a chance to actually engage with the audience who will be invited to tell their own stories with all manner of things. What got you into the whole notion of ghosts and the paranormal, please, Stephen? Was it watching Leeds United?
Well, there could have been a link, couldn't there? There were some very spooky things went on. No, it really intensified when I was a student, and that's a long time ago. I had some, let's say, unexplained experience. I like that phrase. And, yeah, when I was a student, we had a few remarkable experiences, which I will be telling. For the last couple of years, I've been doing this in Cleethorpes Library, actually, on Halloween. It seems to be becoming a regular Lincolnshire event. I collect stories. I keep appealing for stories from people all over the place. You know, I've researched as far as Dublin, for instance, and a book on Dublin. I think I've got Lancashire. And I just appeal every now and again for more stories. I'm absolutely fascinated by these unexplained experiences. And it was particularly, just, you know, if you want an example, what intrigues you is that, you know, is there a rational explanation for things? Are there all sorts of theories from different sorts of parapsychology and so on, you know, that can explain away what we call a paranormal tale? But they persist, don't they? They just go on and on and on. And, well, you know, I've got a sack full of stories and it keeps growing. So I have plenty of good tales to tell. And I really hope people come with their own stories too.
Ben, have you had any spooky experiences since moving from Brighton to Lincoln?
No, never at all in my life, actually.
Really?
No, not at all.
A non-sensitive, clearly, Stephen. No, he's not so sensitive to pick up on those whole activities. See, Leicester, replete with ghost stories. I mean, what about Richard III?
I know. I don't think I've ever seen him in Leicester.
Really? Check out the car park. He usually hangs around there,
hangs
you know.
Well, it was a violent death, so there could be something restless there.
I mean, from your own experience, Stephen, any sort of unexplained activities you'd like to share with us? I mean, have you ever encountered jack-o'-lantern or in the notion of Samhain?
Well, I'm saving my best ones
of course,
for this event, but I will tell you a very short little bit of fascinating uncanny. The man at the window, this is really, and this happened to relatives of mine, not to me, but it's one of my favourite little tiny little mini stories that give you the shiver. This couple, they'd been living in a house for several years, well, 2 or 3 years, I think they stuck it, that had all sorts of experiences that seemed to be poltergeist related, never actually seen anything. They stuck it, you know. They said, "Look, we love this place. We're going to just face it out. We want to live here. It's not going to drive us away." Finally, they gave in. They had to shift. No, we are. We're leaving it. We give in. We can't take it anymore. And they were in the car outside with their last possession taken out. And an old guy at the window upstairs waved at them. The sort of poltergeist became, you know, a typical phantasm, if you like. And it was so disturbing. When first I was told that tale, I thought, that's just so typical. It's almost like a short story.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've had
was
myself...
Was it a kind of standard wave, or was he actually flipping the bird?
I think it was a joyful wave.
It was a joyful wave, so it wasn't a V sign, it wasn't
a
victory
sign.
He
was glad to be left alone. Mm. But, you know, I must say to anybody listening, if they are genuinely interested in what we call paranormal tales, then, you know, a really good starting point is to get reading Colin Wilson, because he's your man.
Oh, well, he's the patron saint, isn't he, really?
Well, Colin Wilson, you know, he's got to be one of the big source books for anybody interested in storytelling in this respect, because he delved into it as a creative writer, but also as a rational mind as well.
He deconstructed all sorts of things. We have got Family Tales of Ghosts at Windows. We've just heard one of them. Ghosts on Stairs, The Exorcism of a Yorkshire Pub Where a Family Fled in Terror. All this and more. My Paranormal Tales, Wednesday the 31st of October. If only we could get simultaneously be there as well as doing our midweek drive show, we would. And tragically, I'll be in Yorkshire this coming Sunday for the 21st of October. Yeah, in Harrogate.
Well, that's all right.
Harrogate for the Countryside Live thing. That's the Crime Writers Casebook. But it's been awesome, and I would encourage anybody to get along to the Crime Writers Casebook Fatal Attraction on 21st of October. We'll find out more about that later, and my paranormal tales. It has been genuinely a privilege and a pleasure, Stephen, to share some thoughts with your good self. We'll speak again soon, I've no doubt.
I've enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Well, that's the important thing. Up next, we'll be talking about the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and Give Me Your Love with a Person in a Box.
Once I was so sure, now the doubt inside my mind comes and goes, but leads nowhere. Just when I think I'm winning, when I've broken every door, the ghost of my life wilder than before. Just when I thought I could not be stopped, when my chance came to be king, the ghost of my life blew wilder. Thank you. every door the ghost of my love, the wilder than before. Just when I thought I could not be stopped, when my chance came to be king, the ghost of my life, the wilder.
Now, folk who've been following Royal Radio, our sister programme, might well have actually heard that I was gradually beginning to discover the delights of Bing, followed by Pingu, of course. And if you basically know that Barry was a cold penguin born into the long nights of the Antarctic winter, you'll think, penguins! That's great. Penguins are actually on the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre page. Robin Ince is on the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre page. But perhaps more intriguingly, and maybe Sia can actually shed some lights on this, theatre legends John Haynes and David Woods of Ridiculousmus visiting Lincoln with a funny, fragile and meaningful production in which we have, look, a person in a box.
Yeah, a person in a box.
A person in a big cardboard box. Here was I thinking, it's Ben back in Lincoln again. No, it's
unfortunately not.
No, exactly. What's it all about and why on actually this very week, actually, it's tomorrow, 13th yeah. to 18th of October. What can people actually expect?
Well, I think we were all thrown off by the box when we first got the print for this show. I didn't really know what was going on.
I bet you wanted to say, look, I'm a graduate from marketing. What are you giving me?
What are you selling to me?
Exactly.
but no, they come with a show called Give Me Your Love. And it's actually quite a... Although the company itself... it's going to be a good laugh, it's going to be funny and really entertaining. It actually deals with a lot of themes of mental health, in particularly post-traumatic stress disorder. So the show is following almost the mind of its main character called Zach. He was in the army, he was at war, and the show is mainly him in the box in his kitchen, and trying to deal with the sort of trauma that comes after war in sort of a different way.
Very serious topic, but if you're trying to cook whilst wearing a box upon your head,
it's very dangerous.
Sorry.
Health and safety.
Yeah, exactly.
I can assure you there are no working stoves on the stage.
I mean, yeah, Ben, there's not an insurance company in the land that's going to actually take claims seriously if you said
not.
You were wandering around with a cardboard box over your head.
These are I think anyone would take you seriously whether they're insurance companies or not.
Well, that's true. Share with us, you have the control, you have the booklet, etc. What other exciting things are coming up as far as the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is concerned? Sia?
Oh, there's so much. I mean, we just came out of the pop-up festival, which was full of exciting things, but looking ahead...
Actually, we did... I promised Julie we'd have a little reflection on that.
Oh, did you?
Because tragically, we talked about ghosts. I didn't actually take part in that big container seance. I did recommend it to some of our third-year students and second-year students. I'm not sure whether any third-year students actually had the energy to go along to the theatre, but... How did it go? And did you experience it yourself?
Oh, yeah. And I really left it to the last minute because I am so scared of sort of loud noises and contained spaces. But on the last...
That's why you're in a radio studio.
I know.
What?
On the last day that Seance was here, actually, they were like, you've got to do it, Sia, you've got to do it. And so I went and it was a really fresh take on performance, I think. And I think Seance in particular was a really big hit for Pop Art Festival just because... it was a different way of experiencing theatre. You sort of went... When I was trying to explain it to people, I'd say it's like a what you'd think a 4D sort of experience is. It's sort
4D.
So
like length, breadth, width and time.
And time itself, whoa. Yeah. We transport you back.
Or forward.
Or forward, yeah.
It's like one of these shows. It's in 3D. But enjoyable overall?
I mean, enjoyable. It was a really great festival. So much was going on. Mm. I enjoyed so much of it. But yeah, now it's over. But we've got the rest of the season to...
More great things to actually look forward
to. Yeah.
So I know that the winter show is already starting and we've talked with Julie about hopefully getting some of the cast along to actually talk about Rapunzel.
Rapunzel, yes. And penguins as well.
I'm glad you reminded me because let's face it, whether you're a Pingu person or not... What's not to love what's about not, your average?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Even though has been trademarked, so we technically couldn't pick up.
Has it actually?
I've heard that it actually has been trademarked, so that you can't. But
what if you have a stammer?
Just contact the lawyers. What's going to happen with the penguin?
Penguins, well, that is for our younger audiences. It's around this Christmas time, so it runs alongside the showings of Rapunzel. But it follows a penguin who travels the world, and he's going to meet all sorts of animals on the way. I've been told there is going to be a llama, which I'm really, really excited
a llama.
For. A llama, yeah. Or is it an alpaca? I feel like they're the same.
One spits, the other one doesn't.
Is that the difference?
And also, one is classified as a kind of middle-class version of what most people would say. Just get a sheep, okay? No, I've got
one's
a llama.
The other, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
And one's a herd animal and one isn't.
I'm glad you're channeling all this
I've got so much
work.
Information. Well, it's either going to be a llama or an alpaca, and... that will be a together. Penguin and a llama.
It's like a menagerie over
why
there.
Why wouldn't you want to see that? I don't know how they would react, but they're going to react to each other in some way.
No idea whatsoever. I didn't have the heart to mention when we were speaking to Stephen Wade a few seconds about the other challenge that's faced with us on October 31st, but Chris Packham is there, of course, visiting lecturer at the University of Lincoln, naturalist, TV presenter, and so on. He will be delivering Bats and Owls.
Yes. I'm quite scared for this one as well. It seems
very
spooky. I mean,
it's
I think
vampire
that's a...
bats.
Well, I hope not. That would be awful. But yeah, he's coming. A lot of people are excited about this one. Actually, I think it's going to be really, really good. I don't know if there's going to be some actual bats or owls. Hmm. I'm very, very afraid of birds, so I wonder. But definitely a good one.
Did you not get prepped by Julie Ellaby in terms of what was needed for this job?
Do you know,
there are animals over there.
There are so many animals that... I didn't know, but that is going to be a good one.
And don't get me started on Holly Cox, because she'll just go off on a horror.
Oh, well.
Ben, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, have you been?
I have. I admit it's a little while ago, but some of the shows that I've seen there, they do look really good, and... they are, for a mixed range audience, so it's something for everyone.
We certainly need more reviewers. We've talked about this before. We have a few other people that will be coming on to join the Inspired On Air package, so we'll be looking to develop that. It's nice to see Little Packs as well. A little bit older than Ben Parts, the Little Pack season, but still all there.
It's
something
still
for
all
everyone.
There. Yeah, there's something for everyone. And as we said, as we close Pop Out, it's sort of the idea of Pop Out still goes on. We've got a lot of performances and activities that are going to be happening outside of the theatre. So we're going to open up with Waterside tomorrow. So we'll be at Waterside Shopping Centre, where there's going to be, on the weekends, lots of performances for the family to enjoy. There's stuff to do. And what I'm most excited about is I feel like it's next weekend, so the 27th and 28th, we've got a reality arcade at Waterside Shopping Centre, which... doesn't sound like anything, but when I've been quizzed on it, it's all about, the sort of big arcade games you have, like Pac-Man and Whack-A-Mole and all of those. It's you getting dressed up and doing those in real life. So if you were Pac-Man, you would wear Pac-Man and run around and collect food.
Could be a fantasy of many people.
I know.
Can you be Super Mario as well?
I really hope you can be.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
If the costumes are there, you can be there. I'm really excited for that. So
today I will be Sonic the Hedgehog. This is amazing. That's and free of charge at the...
at Waterside, yeah. Wow. So you can come in and live your game... video game dreams.
Become a genuine pixelated character. It is awesome. We're going to find out what Sia would have as her highlights and thoughts as we head through the system in a few moments. We'll also be speaking to Stuart Gibbon, the co-crime writer from the Crime Writer's Handbook, as we head back to World's Words, all being well as we move through the fourth dimension. Sleep. Stuart Gibbon's back with us. How are you, Stuart Gibbon?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. How are you?
I'm very good. You know, it's been years since we last spoke and shot the breeze across the airwaves, and it seems like only yesterday. And with Stephen Wade as your co-host for the Crime Writers Casebook on Sunday the 21st of October at Stanhope Hall in Horncastle between 2 and 4, what's not to love about life in general?
Things are busy, you can imagine, can't you? I've got so many different hats, and the next one's going to be a cardboard box. I can assure you I haven't got one of them on my head at the moment.
Well,
there
are those of you... Yeah, I see what you did there. That's nice. You see, be paying attention to the show, listening to it before he comes on air. That's the mark of...
You have to do your research. What really frightened me was Stephen Wade being on, because I didn't know he was going to be on, you see.
Well, we always like to keep... because Gibb Consultancy can cope with the unexpected. It's almost your second mantra. That's the key thing.
It is.
Former senior police detective, share with the listener and Ben and Sia why your path took you from the force, the Met, and so on to obviously a more creative series of endeavours.
Yeah, when I finished in the police, it's about 6 years ago since I left Lincolnshire Police. My head was so full of bits and pieces. I'd been working as a detective for many years, different ranks. I finished as a DCI. I was running murder cases and things like that. So a lot of experience and knowledge, and I didn't just want that to kind of go to waste. And I thought about how I could perhaps help people out, and other than setting up like a private investigation firm, which I didn't really fancy, I went towards the writing side, because I've always liked reading and writing books and things like that anyway. So I thought I'd become a writing consultant. So I made the relevant contacts, and then it kind of took off. So what I generally do is a kind of part day job is I help writers. So we get someone writing about a crime, they might not know the procedure, they might not know the rank of the officer in charge, all the sort of bits and pieces that you need to make your book authentic so people will pick it up and read it. And it just kind of went from there, and I've now started to develop other bits and pieces, and I'm starting to do a lot of TV work now, which is great. So I'm getting involved with the true crime documentaries on Sky. There's obviously millions and millions of those. A lot of them are American, but some of them are now UK-based. So things kind of took off from there, and it's just got really busy. And I met Stephen at Lincoln Inspired in 2015. We was on a panel together of writers. I was chairing it, and Stephen was there, and we just kind of hit it off. And Steve covers the old historical, and I cover the more modern stuff, and it just went from there, really.
I remember it well. It was almost like connecting Starsky with Hutch, Holmes with Watson, Batman with Robin. It was phenomenal. It's just, you know, also, I mean, Sarah Bullimore, just a proud line is just coming across in so many ways. Ben, have you got any questions you want to put to the awesome Stuart Gibbon about crime, how to get away with it, anything really? Just take it away.
Nothing along those lines as such, but... obviously, your job sounds really quite interesting with what you do. And I was wondering, what's kind of the most interesting story you've had to work on, if you're able to share that with us?
Yeah, I can really, because it's been on TV. So I guess it's kind of public arena. And
if it's on TV, we can share.
That was a Lincolnshire case, a murder case, which, because sometimes people ask me, you know, you've investigated murders, what was your most challenging? And actually, it wasn't really a stranger murder as such, where you had to use your detective skills to track down the person or persons responsible. It was actually a case where lies and deceit and a web of corruption had been spun through the course of many, many months. And a person had committed a murder, murdered somebody else, and then kind of set it up to make it look like a complete accident. And, of course, the problem for me and the investigation team was that we had to uncover all these webs of lies, which took some time. But we did eventually get to the bottom of it. And people kind of raise an eyebrow, and I say that's the most challenging. But it is, because, you know, we were only dealing with one person who gave an account, which you have to accept as genuine. And it was only over a course of many, many months that we were able to uncover little pieces of information, when put together, formed some suspicion. And it eventually led to the fact that the person who had reported the crime in the first place was actually the murderer. So that's probably one of the most challenging cases I've ever dealt with, because you have to just unpick it over a period of time, and until you can get to sufficient, you know, evidence where you can make a positive step in terms of arrest and conviction and that sort of thing.
It's like the equivalent of the butler did it, basically, isn't it? When it's the person who actually reports the crime who actually did it in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
Sia, you're nodding. I mean, presumably you're not a murderer, so I don't know who they employ these days at Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. But questions of yourself.
Also, I'm really excited that I've met a real-life detective. I mean,
it's exciting, isn't it?
Over the radio waves, but it's really exciting.
It's fair to say, Stuart, that Sia is just so excited. I mean, graduating from the University of Lincoln with an honours degree, that's the mile now to speaking to the Stuart Gibbon. It's
honestly.
Awesome.
I guess a question I would love to know is what makes for a great true crime or crime fiction title?
A great title? That's a good question. That's a fabulous question. It's got to be... There are so many books these days with the word dead or death in it, or murder or something like that, and I think it needs to be something a little bit different that's going to grab somebody's attention. Let me give you an example. The Crime Writer's Casebook. Roll off the tongue.
See, I mean, I was thinking perhaps Murder on the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre Express. Yeah, could be a possibility.
No, I think I'll give you an example. I've been helping an author recently who's quite well known actually in her field. Her name is Callie Taylor. She writes as C.L. Taylor. She's written romantic stories, and she's now gone into the dark side, and she writes psychological thrillers. And she has just released a book that's called Sleep. It's not actually published yet, but it's just one word, and it's called Sleep. And that, for me, raises a question, you know, what is this about? And when you read the blurb on it, it really is a fantastic title. So I think you need to put some thought into it, and it needs to be one that's going to make people want to buy the book to find out what's actually in it, even when they've read the blurb. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I like the sound of Sleep.
Well. Yeah, no, it's due out in... I would publicise it because I helped her to write the procedural side, so I've got to give her my support, and she's a very talented author. It's due out in March in hardback, September next year in paperback. But yeah, I should think it'd be a cracker of what I know about it. I know a little bit more than other people because, I say, she would send me the information and I'd check it through for accuracy, etc. And we've worked together for kind of 3 or 4 years now, so... Bit of a team, really.
And that is the heart of Inspired On Air, sharing the positivity, working through all manner of other bits and pieces. The event, of course, the Crime Writer's Casebook, is a must for anyone interested in true crime and crime fiction, whether historical or contemporary. I think I'm going to put this question to you before, Stuart, but how do you relate to series like the NCIS series or indeed the CSI series? We've got NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans. I mean, obviously, everything fixed and sorted within 42 minutes of American drama?
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't watch a lot of them, Alex, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've watched them occasionally, but it's not something I can sit down and watch forever. But I think the thing we need to bear in mind is, even with the English and the UK dramas, with your Veras and your Midsummer Murders and your Morse and all those sort of great programmes, there's two things, really. One is it's often solved within the hour, or maybe 2 hours, depending on the length of the programme. But secondly, you often get the senior detectives front on. You know, Vera's charging around in her Land Rover, and she across in the northeast, and Morse and Lewis are out solving crime in Oxford, because that's the drama of it. But in reality, as a DCI, which is what I was in Lincolnshire, I'm sat behind a desk. I'm making huge decisions that will affect people's futures. But actually, I'm not charging around arresting people. I'm not interviewing them. I'm actually managing it as what they call an SIO, Senior Investigating Officer. So the differences are there. I tend to watch more of the true crime stuff now because you know it's going to be a genuine case. And sometimes, you know, they revisit things and look for witnesses. And I think that's quite interesting. And, of course, we're hearing all the time about the cases that are solved. There was one on the news only last night from 30-odd years ago that's at court at the moment, you know, through the advances in science, DNA and that sort of thing. All fascinates me, and I love to talk about it, as you can tell.
It's like a mini industry. It's great stuff. And, you know, perhaps in keeping with the autumnal theme of the show, Ben, any sort of closing thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, really, out of all the work you do with books and TV, etc., do you often find that they're on a right path anyway? Do you feel like you have to make many tweaks with them, or is it kind of in some cases you don't have to make any tweaks at all, and some you do have to tweak quite a lot to make it seem more realistic?
Yeah, I think there are some authors, Ben, that have no idea of the procedure. And to be honest, if you wrote a book, I mean, we've written one, but it's a totally different kind of book. It's not a fiction book, it's a true crime book. But if you were to write a fiction book and you put loads of procedure in it, people wouldn't read it because it would just switch people off, and I fully understand that. But if you're saying that a certain rank's going to be in charge and you want to refer to them as Sarge, for example, because of the sergeant, you need to get the right level of rank, because again, people will pick the book up, and if they think, well, hang on, I know that that rank wouldn't deal with that, or I know this wouldn't happen, they'll put it down again. Generally, people have got a little bit of an idea. Of course, the other thing to bear in mind is they don't have to follow your advice. I'm just giving them the guidance. If they want to say, well, actually, I want this policeman to be rogue, I want them to be corrupt, I want them to do this, this, and this, then that's fine. It might make for a better book, but all I give them is the genuine stuff.
Alternatively, it could be set in a different dimension, different reality, different parallel universes. Who knows what could happen then? But it's not real. Oh, well, then
I have given some advice to a gentleman who was writing a science fiction book, and he had aliens coming down from wherever they came from.
Yeah, but working in Lincolnshire, that's part of the course, I would have thought.
Kidnapping people who disappeared, and it was
exactly,
like,
as I said, part of the course.
It could happen. Could happen.
Who knows how many people have actually been inducted? Which brings me around to the other question. Will you be attending My Paranormal Tales on the 31st of October with, indeed, Stephen Wade?
You know, this sounds awful, doesn't it? But you know what I'm going to say.
He's probably not listening. Don't worry.
I'm not. No, I'm not. But only because I've got a very good excuse, because Halloween is my birthday. Yeah. So I'll be out celebrating, I should imagine.
Exactly.
But I will be thinking about Stephen's Paranormal Tales, and particularly looking out for that man in the window.
And will you, clearly, I mean, will it be a case from the Halloween birthday celebration, Stuart, of pumpkin, or indeed jack-o'-lantern, or indeed just basically sort of candle? Do you have any particular sort of characters that you sort of like to have? I mean, are you a pumpkin person, or are you more of a non-pumpkin person?
No, I'm a non-pumpkin, I must admit. Definitely
non-pumpkin.
I may dress up as an old historical detective or something like that and wander around the street.
Works for me. Works for me. A reminder, you can see Stuart in person with the Crime Writers Casebook, Fatal Attractions, Sunday the 21st of October between 2 and 4 p.m. Stuart, hopefully it won't be too long before you join us again in the studio and connect with us from that point of view. It's been a pleasure as ever. Speak again very soon.
Thanks, Alex. Take care. Bye now.
Days of Sting, Gordon Sumner, and Andy Summers, I think. Stuart Copeland. Anyway, they were three fine folk. Call the police. And we have to ask now, what if we were going to push you, Sia, and we are, what would be the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre highlights for the next few weeks that you think, yeah, actually, if you read, obviously everything is a highlight. Just go to lpac.co.uk to find out a whole range of wonderful informational things. But what would you say, these are the ones?
Oh, I was just looking now and I was thinking, there's too much to talk about.
I know, but, you know.
I'm going to cheat slightly and put two together. I'd say coming up sort of end of this week are two family shows that are coming to Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. We've got The Nutcracker, which I'm really excited about, and it's putting me in a Christmassy spirit already in October.
Went down very well at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln.
Yeah, so for another chance to see The Nutcracker, it's...
it's a different company. I think it might be a different company.
Yeah, I think this is Vienna Festival Ballet. That's going to be really fun. But we've also got The Snail and the Whale, since we love animals here.
The Snail and the Whale.
We've had penguins, snails, whales,
bats,
alpacas. Bats, yeah, we can't get enough of them over here. So, yeah, but I'm really super excited to see The Snail and the Whale, because obviously it was a book. And
Ben, The Snail and the Whale?
Unfortunately not, I'm afraid. Mm. I've never heard of it.
I mean, it is a book.
I don't. I completely believe you. I'm just uneducated in that.
Is it a crime mystery murder book? Is it?
Not exactly. Yeah. It's more of a bedtime book. But yeah, so that's coming. And if you want to see how a snail and a whale make friends, then definitely be sure to come and see.
And let's face it, if a snail and a whale can be friends, then so can you, dear listener. So can you.
Exactly.
It's a little bit of a sort of advice there for the people angry.
And yeah, coming up in November, a studio show that I'm really excited that we've got is a show called Bicycles and Fish.
I see what you did there. Bicycles and Fish.
But I don't think it actually has any bicycles or fish in it.
That's what happens at Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Sometimes it's not exactly what you see on the title.
No, it's not. You've got to go to the show and
find
out. If
people are listening to this and they turn up for Bicycles and Fish and they say, I went and saw the whole show expecting to see at least one penny farthing, it's not going to happen.
It's not, no, unfortunately
not even a haddock.
But no, that's a really good show. It's coming to us, a one-woman show, and it's all about her experience of growing up. And I think she explores the themes of why, as women, you don't discover feminism before you sort of later on in your life. So it's really.
Do you think that's true?
See, I think.
I mean, in Leicester, I thought you were told to actually be liberated from the moment of conception, basically.
I mean, that is the rule there.
Absolutely.
But it's an interesting sort of kind of debate to be had, so I'm really interested in...
Gender politics?
Yeah, it is a heavy one, but it should be a really good one to go
see. Let's summarise, go on. We've got a snail and the whale, we've got bicycles and fish... No, bicycles and fish.
And fish, yeah.
And...
And we've got Concerto that's coming in November as well, which is sort of a really clever mix of classical music, but also performance and storytelling. And it's all set around the First World War. It's quite dramatic, I actually think. And I'm really excited to see how that is going to be on the big stage. But yeah.
And it is a big stage. Ben, has your appetite been whetted by some of the delights that Sia has brought along today?
It has indeed. Thank you.
We will work through that. That has been the October edition of Inspired On Air. We'll be back third week in November with more goodies. Who knows, maybe we'll have Sia and Julie ever be there.
Wouldn't that be special? Whoa. I don't know who's manning the office if that happens.
It would be tremendous. Ben probably back with us as well. We'll have a few other bits and pieces too. Midweek Drive continues in case trailer heads to various other bits and pieces for that. But if you want to listen again to any of the past few years of Inspired On Air, you can do so by going to the Podbean site, the podcast site, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. That's it. I've just remembered, because you're both new to the show, you don't know the final two words that we actually say.
Be inspired, isn't it?
Do you know? Yeah, absolutely right.
Because I've been on the show before, Alex.
Thank you, Ben. I was thinking you were a newbie, but no, you have been there
before. I didn't know where to correct you earlier. But
yeah. You're silently just sitting there
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. You see, he goes to crew. I forget all about who he was, what he does, and then he makes it perform. You're quite right. It is those two words. So after three, one, two, three.
Be inspired.
didn't want to be the one to forget. I thought of everything I'd never regret. A little time with you is all that I get. That's all I need because it's all we can take. One thing I never see the same way around. I don't believe it and it slips on the ground. I want to take you to the place in the Roche, but no one gives us any time anymore. You use me once you fled, looking at me.